The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All of a sudden, I hear last night they're going to have a meeting right before this meeting to talk about the I word. The I word. The big I word.
Okay, here's what I was dancing to.
What are the words that begin with I that relate to the president neatly? Of tempered, immoral, and ignorant, adoring glad indiscreetly. So many words that begin with I can describe the president rightly. Illegal, illicit, and infantile, inflating numbers inaugurally. But the most obvious eyes for the inflictor of lies, incompetent and breachy, inappropriate, insufferable, and eminently impeachy.
Yes, eminently impeachy. It was a lovely Schoolhouse Rocky kind of video. There you go. All right, so at least you got to hear it. Sorry for the the false start this morning. Having one of those days. It is a Thursday, though, and that's good news because it means Howie Klein will be here. Like probably you did, or maybe you didn't. I don't know. I have to watch these press conferences because, you know, this is what I do for a living. So I watch these things so you don't have to. And bottom line is Nancy Pelosi held a press conference this morning. We'll get to it. Because there's so much in here. Let me open my wall of sound here and share this stuff with you. Okay, by way of review, what led us to this morning's press conference with Nancy Pelosi started yesterday when poor little Donald Trump had a really, really bad day. Oh, yes. But before we get to that, I'm sorry. I should have known as soon as the video didn't work, I was going to be a little off today. There is breaking news before we get to what happened yesterday. Breaking news is that the Senate today reached a last-minute deal with the White House to pass a disaster aid package that contains no funding for Trump's stupid border wall. Okay, so what happened is it's valued at about $19.1 billion. It includes almost like $100 million for Puerto Rico, money that Trump tried to keep from them, but they will now get. The whole bill is valued about $19.1 billion. It'll assist states devastated by wildfires, hurricanes, and flooding. Now, here's the rub. The House, they've already gone. You know, next week is Memorial Day, so they're taking off the whole week. So they're already gone for a one-week recess. They're saying that the legislation could be approved on a voice vote after the Senate passes it sometime today. I told you what's in it. They may have to wait till they get back. But one way or another, Puerto Rico is going to get some money, thank God. No thanks to Trump. Okay, back to what I was telling you. What happened over the last 24 hours is world changing. It's earth shattering. It's any other exclamation you would like to put in there. We are watching this country. Forget the guy in the White House. The country unravel. And yes, unlike the guy in the White House, the country used to be raveled, right? And it is unraveling because of the idiot, the orange idiot. So What happened yesterday is the day began with Donald Trump in a really lousy mood. According to reports, he started the day like that. Well, the events of the day just made his mood get worse. The day began the way it does on Capitol Hill on Wednesday mornings. Nancy Pelosi holds a caucus meeting with all the Democrats in the House every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. It's what they do. So for Donald Trump be crying over, they called this meeting right before our meeting is just, you know, it's more bullshit out of the mouth of the orange turd. So Nancy Pelosi met with the House Democratic Caucus, and really top on the agenda was dealing with the growing calls for impeachment. So this happened before her scheduled 11 a.m. meeting at the White House to talk infrastructure. It was supposed to be round two of infrastructure, right? So she emerged from that meeting, went to the microphone, spoke longer than this, but this is the part that I guess got the president so freaked out.
Would you believe that it's important to follow the facts? We believe that no one is above the law, including the president of the United States, and we believe that the president of the United States is engaged in a cover-up.
Uh-oh.
In a cover-up.
Uh-oh.
And that was the nature.
Uh-oh. Okay, so she said he's engaged in a cover-up. Well, after that, so Nancy Pelosi finished her meeting with her caucus, did their little press avail, and then Chuck and Nancy went to the White House for their big follow-up infrastructure meeting with Individual One, ostensibly to hash out a $2 trillion package. But Donald had different plans. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, for whom I usually have no use, he was there, and he explained on the TV what happened.
When we walked into the cabinet room, it was different. And what was different was the curtains were drawn.
Uh-oh.
On the windows looking out on the Rose Garden. So we could not see outside the room. We're there for about 10 minutes. The president was about 10 minutes late coming in. And what I noticed is there was no chair set for where he regularly sits. So there is no doubt in my mind that this was a show.
You think?
With no go on infrastructure. And
uh-oh.
Then the president walked in 10 minutes late, clearly had no intention of going around the room as he usually does and shaking hands, but stood at one end of the cabinet table closest to the door leading to the Oval Office and said, Nancy Pelosi has accused me of cover-up. There is no cover-up. I'm not covering up. And therefore, I'm not going to proceed. I'm not going to go through this meeting. And essentially, he then turned on his heels and walked out.
And he walked out. So after Trump stormed out of the cabinet room, he went straight to the Rose Garden, where the press had been summoned. Now, they were calling it an impromptu appearance. But as we discussed yesterday, it was fully choreographed, complete with a printed graphic, a poster outlining the costs and the in both treasure and labor and time and effort and everything of the Mueller investigation. The poster was adorning the lectern, and it was also available as a handout for the media. So obviously, this had been planned. But that's when Trump announced that he would not perform his duties as president of the United States as long as the Democrats were investigating him. He began his remarks to the gathered media by feigning outrage that Nancy Pelosi said he was engaging in a cover-up.
So I came here to do a meeting on infrastructure with Democrats, not really thinking they wanted to do infrastructure or anything else other than investigate. And I just saw that Nancy Pelosi, just before our meeting, made a statement that we believe that the president of the United States is engaged in a cover-up.
Yeah.
Well,
point
it turns
being.
Out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this,
no,
I'm
wouldn't.
The most transparent
no, you're not.
President probably in the history of this country. We have given, on a witch hunt, on a hoax, the whole thing with Russia was a hoax.
The whole thing with Russia was a, so he went on like that, right? And then, then he said this.
And instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk into look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups.
What?
You people know that probably better than anybody.
What? Now, and he does that all the time to the media. He's like, you know this better than I do. And, I want one of them to shout back, wrong, liar, you lie. There's lots of different variations on that theme. Anyway, what did he just say?
I don't do cover-ups.
Excuse me. Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, and a canceled $130,000 check beg to differ, but I digress. Back to the Rose Garden, where Trump spoke of himself in the third person, lied about his accomplishments, smeared Mueller's team, and lied about their conclusions.
And of the 19 people that were heading up this investigation, or whatever you want to call it, with Bob Mueller, they were contributors to the Democrat Party, most of them, and to Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no. You know what? Enough of that. I played that yesterday. And then he peppered throughout his incoherent ramblings threats that he won't engage in anything as long as the investigations continue.
Instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. Aww. I don't do cover-ups. I walked into the room. And I told Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, I want to do infrastructure. I want to do it more than you want to do it. But you know what? You can't do it under these circumstances. So get these phony investigations over with. This
what?
Meeting was set up a number of days ago at 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, I hear last night they're going to have a meeting right before this meeting to talk about the I word.
The I word.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? Yes, I can imagine. Bring it on. So in remarks to the press afterwards, Pelosi and Schumer both suggested that Trump had no infrastructure plan or any clue as to how to pay for a $2 trillion project as he had promised for this meeting. So he concocted this stunt as a distraction.
For some reason, maybe it was lack of confidence on his part that he really couldn't match the greatness of the challenge that we have, wasn't really respectful of the Congress and the White House working together.
You think?
He just took a pass.
Yep.
And it just makes me wonder why he did that. In any event, I pray for the President of the United States. And I pray for the United States of America.
Yeah, I guess if you're a praying person, that's the logical thing to do at this point. So last night, after all this went on, Pelosi sent a letter to her colleagues that said, among other things, quote, "Sadly, the only job the president seems to be concerned with is his own. He threatened to stop working with Democrats on all legislation unless we end oversight of his administration. And he had a temper tantrum for us all to see." Okay, so Donald Trump, of course, went on a Twitter rant, whatever. This is what he does. This morning, Nancy Pelosi had her regular weekly press conference. And, we've been hearing conflicting reports about the Democratic caucus. Officially, there is only like 30 some odd names on the whip list of Democrats who are officially calling for impeachment. I know I've been going through it with my congressman, Ted Deutch, who represents my district, the 22nd district in South Florida, who claims, he's being wishy-washy about it, which is what he does. They referred me to an interview he did with Aaron Burnett on CNN, where basically he said, he's open to investigations to find out if there should be impeachment, but he won't go on record as calling for the beginning of an impeachment inquiry, which is what I believe we need. So here's Nancy Pelosi. I cut up from the questions that were asked of her at the end. The most depressing thing to me about her performance this morning at her press conference was basically her doubling down on the idea that we are not, I repeat, not on the path to impeachment. What?
You said that the president may have engaged in impeachable offenses. Yeah. Yet Yet today you're saying you're not on a path to impeachment. Can you explain why you are opposed to launching an impeachment inquiry that many of your members want to do?
Let me be really very clear. The president's behavior in terms of his obstruction of justice, the things that he is doing, it's very clear. It's in plain sight. It cannot be denied. Ignoring subpoenas, obstruction of justice.
True,
yes, these
right?
could be impeachable
yes,
offenses.
Yes, they are.
But I intend not to, the three things, you might understand it better if you remember these three things.
Okay.
We want to follow the facts.
Follow
the
facts.
Get the truth to the American people.
Okay.
With a recognition, too, that no one is above the law.
Right.
And three, that the president is engaged in a cover-up.
Okay, we know. And impeach the fucker.
My statement is. How we deal with it is a decision that our caucus makes, and our caucus is very much saying whatever we do, we need to be ready when we do it. And I do think that impeachment is a very divisive place to go in our country. And what we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment. Or not. But we're not at that place yet.
We're not at that place yet. So there's Nancy Pelosi, again, doubling down on the, we're not going down that road. Here's the disconnect. She claims there's no division in her caucus. I say au contraire, Madam Speaker. You're wrong. We are sick and tired of sitting around with while you guys issue strongly worded statements and letters. And I appreciate the letters. I got to tell you, first, you know, I love Ted Lieu, right? Congressman Ted Lieu sent a letter to Attorney General Bill Barr yesterday. Here's what he wrote. Dear Attorney General Barr, earlier today, the president stated emphatically, quote, I don't do cover-ups. You people know that. He also stated, quote, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country. Ted Lieu continues, in light of the president's statements, please let me know what time tomorrow I can come up and review the unredacted Mueller report. I simply request the same access that you gave to Republican Congressman Doug Collins. And then just a little while ago today, Congresswoman Mary Gay Scanlon also sent William Barr, Attorney General, a letter, and she wrote, Dear Attorney General Barr, yesterday the president stated emphatically, I don't do cover-ups. You people know that. He also stated, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country. In light of the president's statements, please let me know what day next week I can come over to review and copy the underlying evidence collected during the special counsel's investigation. I am particularly interested in reviewing the evidence concerning polling data that the Trump campaign officials shared with Russian government operatives. So as much as I enjoy seeing these letters, we need to take it a step further. And now, unfortunately, Congress is on recess for a week. Nothing will be dealt with, not even the full House vote on holding Barr in contempt of Congress. That won't happen until Congress returns from their break on June 4th. Because it's Memorial Day Monday, so they need another fucking week off. By the way, before we move on, I need to play you two other questions that happened in this press conference. This one, I believe, was Glenn Thrush, who now covers Congress and not the White House, because he had a Me Too run-in. Anyway, he's referring in the question to something that Nancy Pelosi said while she was giving her her initial opening comments, in which she said that she hopes that his family or staff or somebody does an intervention. And here's the question.
You said in private, you suggested it today, that the president wants to, on some level...
Of course. I told you.
Can you explain that a bit? And can you also explain the comment you made about the staff doing an intervention?
Okay. The what intervention?
You made a comment that you thought the staff might want to do.
Oh, I thought you said statutory intervention. That would be good. Article 25. Troublemaker. That's a good idea. I'm glad you suggested it. I'll take it up with my caucus. Not that they haven't been thinking about it, but your support will be important to them.
Wow. Wow.
What was the first? Oh, yes. Oh, there's no question. The White House is just crying out for impeachment. That's why he flipped yesterday, because he was hoping, because he was somehow or other, you all have a story that isn't real. I mean, you want to believe that there's all this unease in our caucus. That simply isn't the truth. We have respect for the diversity of opinion in our caucus. And I say to the caucus, our diversity is our strength. Our unity is our power. And we have unity in our caucus. That was what disappointed him, because he didn't see this rush to impeachment coming out of our caucus in our 9 o'clock meeting, which he thought was called specifically for him. And then advice up to his family and his cabinet and his staff in the White House. This is not behavior that is rises to the dignity of the office of President of the United States.
Okay, so there was a lot in that clip to unpack. First of all, she's joking about the 25th Amendment. I don't think it's funny at this point, because he's definitely unglued. There's something wrong with that man. There is something seriously, seriously wrong with Donald Trump's mind. Putting that aside, in there, you also got her reasoning. She's opposed to going down the road to impeachment because she thinks that that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants that because he knows he'd be cleared by the Senate, and then he can say, see, no obstruction, no collusion, no conviction. I'm cleared. Stop with the witch hunt. The thing about an impeachment procedure, the process that is so empowering, the reason why I think that's what they need to do, is because it would entail a televised trial where there's no redactions, there's nobody who's off the record, there's nobody behind closed doors. It's all done in daylight so that everybody in the country can see it. You will not be able to escape the sound bites of witness after witness after witness coming forth to say what is outlined in the Mueller report. Yes, my copy just arrived today, and it is thick and big and lots of tiny print. I honestly don't know about my idea of reading the juiciest parts, because it's not really that juicy in its presentation. But I promise you, if they have a hearing and all these people from Don McGahn on down to Hope Hicks and beyond are called to testify in an impeachment hearing under oath on live television, you better believe the American people will hear what happened. By the way, to the press. MSNBC pretends to be sort of the liberals' answer to Fox. Now, they've moved away from that position in recent years. You know, they hired a whole shitload of conservatives, you know, from Nicole Wallace, who, you know, I said recently I really liked her show, but she just said something the other day about, you know, basically wishing Bernie Sanders out of the race. Stop it. Just stop it. Okay. All right. But others, I mean, their airwaves are filled with these reformed, well, never Trumpers. I don't even want to say reform Republicans. Anyway, I expect it and accept it from commentators, from hosts, because they're like me. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a journalist. Now, I do maintain journalistic integrity. My show is based in fact. And if I ever get anything wrong and don't correct myself immediately, please correct me so I can correct the record. I don't trade in false narratives. I don't make shit up. I report on facts with my opinion based on those facts. Now, there was one question asked to Nancy Pelosi this morning at that press conference that I found highly disturbing. And the person asking the question was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC News and MSNBC. And I'm just going to let you hear it. And then let's see if you're as outraged as I.
Madam Speaker, would you be prepared to change your rhetoric given the political landscape, you understand the president's temperament? Your prayer comments almost suggest you're concerned about his well-being.
Okay, I'm pausing it because, again, there's a lot of noise. Nancy Pelosi is rattling around on her lectern into the microphone. What Kelly O'Donnell said there, did you hear it? She said, you know what?
I am.
Hold on. I'm going to back it up again and play it like item for item.
To change your rhetoric.
Are you willing to change your rhetoric?
Given
the political landscape. Your prayer comments almost suggest you're concerned about his well-being, to which Nancy Pelosi said, I am. And then Kelly O'Donnell continued asking her if she will ramp down her rhetoric? What?
And the well-being of the United States of America.
Would you be prepared to do something differently for the pragmatism of getting more done, to not use phrases like cover up or to not perhaps provoke him?
Would you not use phrases like cover up or perhaps provoke him?
Open to that.
Well, you have.
Would you be open to changing your vernacular to not offend the crybaby in the White House? She actually asked him that. Now I'll play it for you again so you know what the gist of her question is.
Madam Speaker, would you be prepared to change your rhetoric given the political landscape, your understanding of the president's temperament? Your prayer comments almost suggest you're concerned about his well-being.
I am. And the well-being of the United States of America.
Would you be prepared to do something differently for the pragmatism
of
getting
more
done, to not use phrases like cover up or to not perhaps provoke him? Would you be open to that?
Well, you have bought into his excuse.
No,
that was not a reason that he did that yesterday. That was an excuse for him to do that. And with all due respect to your question, do not intend not to honor my oath of office, nor do my colleagues in the House of Representatives to honor our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution, which has a system of checks and balances, separation of power in it. And again, it's a question of the American people understanding that what he is doing is an assault on the Constitution of the United
you
States.
Think?
We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Unbelievable.
I hope we can too.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Unbelievable. NBC News, Kelly O'Donnell is a partisan hack and she needs to go work at Fox so-called news. Get her off your air. Period. God. I'm just incensed by that. And I thought, you know, I'm critical of Nancy Pelosi, but I commend her for holding her tongue and not throwing her out on her ass and saying, are you auditioning for a job on Fox? What the fuck? Unbelievable. By the way, as to Donald Trump's assertion, here's what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, echoing Donald Trump when she was asked. He said he won't work on anything as long as there's as long as there are investigations into Trump. And here's what Huckabee Sanders said.
So explain what the president means when he says you cannot do infrastructure under these circumstances. What does he really mean by that?
Look, I think he was very clear yesterday. He came out and addressed the press right after that meeting where he spoke with Speaker Pelosi and a number of other members of Congress, where he laid out, look, it's real simple. You can't go down two tracks. We're either going to have to agree that we want to solve problems for the country. We want to come together. We want to work together. We want to address some of the big things facing our country.
All right. Enough of her. You can't go down two tracks. You can't have investigations and do the business of running the government and legislating, at the same time. Really now. Here's Brian Williams reading a tweet from Gregory Corte Now I can't remember where Gregory Corte was from, but he's from a news organization. Here's what he wrote.
Even during the Watergate hearings, the 93rd Congress passed and Nixon signed Federal Aid to Highways Act, the Rehabilitation Act of 73, Endangered Species Act, Budget Act of 74.
Hello.
Oh, and by the way, the War Powers Resolution over the president's veto.
Uh-huh.
All these laws still exist in some form today.
Yes, and during the Clinton impeachment, they got all kinds of stuff done, including the first balanced budget in decades and the last one we've seen. That was Bill Clinton while he was being impeached. They also passed the state children's health insurance plans, SCHIP, which you've heard so much about, because Donald Trump didn't want to fund it again after he became president. And they repealed Glass-Steagall. while Clinton was being impeached. So to say you can't chew gum and walk at the same time is asinine. But then again, Donald Trump is an ass. Oh, my God. All right. So how many days with no press conference? Mark Jackson is asking in the YouTube chat room. There hasn't been one this year, I believe. Yeah. There was a picture. One of the news organizations tweeted out a picture earlier in the week of the lectern in the White House press briefing room that showed a layer of dust covering it. And they tweeted it out. The next day they said, well, they came in and they dusted. They still haven't had a press briefing, but they dusted. So we've got that going for us. Oh, my. All right. I'll tell you what. Howie Klein is standing by. I know he's got a piece going up at downwithtyranny.com right when this show ends. And it deals with this, what's going on inside the Democratic caucus in their debate, to put it nicely, over impeachment. So we'll get Howie Klein on the phone and figure it out. He's next on the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and, of course, on the Progressive Voices Network.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog Special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of downwithtyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Okay, Howie Klein is here. Hold on 1 second. Let me get all my ducks in a row. Hey, Howie Klein, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Quack, quack. I'm doing okay. I had something just right on the tip of my tongue that I wanted to ask you about, and now I've lost it. It'll come back when I'm not thinking about it. So I emailed.
And the last thing that you asked me was what? if I had watched Pelosi's
press conference. Yes.
Today, and I hadn't, and then after you mentioned it, I went and did, and
is right. Oh my God. So let's talk about this, Howie Klein. I know you've got a piece going up at downwithtyranny.com right when the show ends. Nancy Pelosi, in addition to saying that we are not on the path towards impeachment, she also said that her caucus is not divided at all, that they're all on the same track. Is that true?
No, they're almost all on the same track, but it's not the track that she's on. And I shouldn't really say they're almost all on the same track. Uh-huh. So mainstream Democrats, the progressives generally, and so the mainstream of the Democratic Party in Congress, they're all heading right towards impeachment. So it's more and more and more day by day. Used to be, I would talk to people and they would say, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, we'll let's see, I want to see where the evidence is. And to me, the evidence was there, and now to more and more of them, the evidence is there. So now it's much rarer that I find a Democrat who is not eager to get impeachment going. A lot of them are still sort of reluctant to abandon her. Like the other day, Adam Schiff is my congressman. He had a meet and greet kind of thing with his constituents in my neighborhood, and they were there. You know, I would say there were like 200 people there, and I don't know, maybe 198 of the 200 won immediate impeachment. And you know, Adam Schiff sounded like he was with them. You know, he was, and when you see him on TV now, Adam Schiff, who's by the way a new Dem. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more on the conservative side, to put it mildly, and he was saying very much without coming right out and saying, I want impeachment now. He was saying he wants impeachment now. And for him to move that far, he's, you know, absolutely a strong ally of Pelosi's. That's a big deal.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, you've got the people, and I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from. So bear with me for a second.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's definitely the Republican wing of the Democratic Party that we're talking about. So, again, the Blue Dogs and the New Dems, they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying basically, no, I mean, they're saying a lot, but in every one of their statements about it, they use a phrase about doing the job that the voters sent us here to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be passing legislation that helps people in their lives, all that kind of stuff. Now, remember, these are the people who are not backing Medicare for All. These are the people who are not backing the Green New Deal. These are the people who are not backing raising the minimum wage to $15. So these are the people who are not trying to help ordinary Americans. That's who we're talking about, the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. And now they're saying, well, we shouldn't be impeaching Trump. We need to be doing our real jobs. Well, you know who else is saying this? Donald Trump is saying that.
Right. Because he's saying you can't do the...
What's the connection? And the connection is Mark Penn.
Uh-huh.
Mark Penn owns and runs this thing called the Problem Solvers Caucus,
mm-hmm.
which is the overseer of that in Congress. There's one Republican and one Democrat. So the Republican is Tom Reed from upstate New York. He's just a normal Republican enabler of Trump. He's nothing. He's just a rubber stamp. That's all he is. That's Tom Reed. And the other one is Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey.
Right.
Now, Josh Gottheimer has the single worst record of any Democrat in Congress today. The single worst, and quite by quite a lot. Just to give you an example, his score is it was either 23 or 28%. So in other words, when it comes to important progressive legislation, he's for that about, let's say, 28. He's for 28% of the time. Justin Amash, a Republican, is for it 44% of the time. That's the difference of how low he is, how low Josh Gottheimer is. Literally the worst Democrat in Congress. So he's the chair of the progressive, he's the chair of the anti-progressive.
Right. The Blue Dogs or the New Dems?
Well, he is a Blue Dog,
right.
but I'm talking about the Problem Solvers Caucus.
Oh, gotcha, right, gotcha.
He's the chair with Tom Reed of that caucus, which is owned by Mark Penn. And you know who their big guest was last year, who they invited to come and speak? Donald Trump.
Oh, of course.
I mean, who if you want to look at a problem solver, who's going to be more of a problem solver than Donald Trump?
So they
invited him to come and speak.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, there are all these pictures of him and Josh Gottheimer cozying up and being pals. It's pretty shocking. So here we have the problem solver Democrats all using that same phrase about, we shouldn't be bothering with impeachment. We should be doing our jobs of passing legislation to help people. And then you have Donald Trump out there saying the same thing.
Yep.
So you ask me, are all the Democrats on the same page? No, most Democrats are going right towards impeachment, and then you've got this Republican wing of the Democratic Party, these Blue Dogs and New Dems, who are part of the Problem Solvers Caucus as well, and they are the ones who are saying no impeachment. So here we have Nancy Pelosi, and she keeps what she says is that we need to protect our Republican wing, basically. She doesn't call it that,
mm-hmm.
but she's there for. She doesn't push them on anything. So when she was campaigning for Democrats, one of the things she would say as she went around the country at every stop, I mean every stop, this was one of her lines that she always used, that within the first 100
days.
Not 100 days,
no,
within the first 100 hours, she would have a $15 minimum wage bill ready to pass. Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
There are now every Democrat in the House. So there are 235 Democrats in the House.
Okay.
205 of them. So every Democrat but 30 has signed on as a co-sponsor. As a co-sponsor of the $15 minimum wage act. It's called the Raise the Wage Act.
Right.
Bobby Scott from Richmond, Virginia, introduced it. This was the bill. Pelosi is a co-sponsor. Hoyer's a co-sponsor. Everyone is a co-sponsor except basically the Blue Dogs and some of the New Dems. So pass it. You've got your majority. Go and pass it. Why is it not being passed?
Good question.
Because the Blue Dogs are crying that it doesn't work in their districts. And really? What district? So it doesn't work for some of the businessmen in their districts, but what people don't want to be earning $15 a minimum wage? I mean, that's the minimum wage.
Yeah, right.
And we're talking about Democrats here. Sure, Republicans don't want it, but we're talking about Democrats who are opposing this. And Pelosi is protecting them by not introducing the bill. She said first 100 hours.
Wow.
Got a majority, and she's not bringing it to the floor because they're fighting about how to make it possible to have it. Well, in places like New York and L.A., we'll have one thing, but in places like Alabama, we'll have another thing. What? Why? Because people in Alabama don't want $15 minimum wage?
No, because it's a lot more expensive to live in L.A. or New York than Alabama. The thing is, people in Alabama need a living wage, too. $15 an hour isn't enough in New York or Los Angeles, and I say that as someone who's lived in both cities. It's not enough.
You know what? Those cities are raising the minimum wage. Mm. They're ahead of the federal government.
Yep.
But where the hell, you know, the Democrat who represent, there's one Democrat in the state of Alabama. When the Alabama legislature, which obviously the Republican legislature, drew the map of Alabama, the congressional map, they reached out. They have the one weird district that goes into every city in where there's a black person, and they put them in this one district. So no matter where they are in Alabama, they're in this one district. This figure is not precise. Is about 70% Republican, 30% Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
This one district is 70% Democrat and 30% Republican. It's like a mirror image. And there's an African American woman who's a New Dem, very, very conservative, and she is leading this fight against the $15 minimum wage. Voters knew that she was doing that, they'd never vote for her again. She's telling them, she's literally saying, let New York and California have their $15 minimum wage. We don't want it in Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Really? Voters don't want it in Alabama? What is she on? What kind of crack is she smoking? She's out of her mind.
Unbelievable.
Her people need that more than anybody. And she's fighting for business people and basically telling her own voters to go to hell.
Wow. This is what gets us aggravated. That's putting it lightly. I had a bit of frustration this week because, as I've been encouraging listeners to do, I called my congressman to, you know, weigh in and pass along.
Is that Deutsch?
Ted Deutsch. Ted Deutsch is so damn noncommittal. It's infuriating. So not only
middle
did
of the road or thinking about his own career.
That's all. And so he's so noncommittal. So I sent an email to the people on staff saying, you know what? Let me talk to my congressman. I'd love to have him on the air to weigh in on this. Where does he stand? Because he's not on the list, the whip lists that I'm seeing in the papers. There's around 30 or so members of the Democratic Party who are openly advocating to open an impeachment inquiry. His name is not on that list. So first I said that on the air and I tweeted something the other day, and I get a direct message on my Twitter from Ted Deutsch, my congressman, who forwarded me a Washington Post article that had a quote from him that was wishy-washy, that said, yeah, he supports, you know, investigations, but not necessarily impeachment. Then I emailed his, you know, his communications director and went back and forth asking for an interview. He's not available today. How about tomorrow? He's not available tomorrow. How about Friday? Sorry, he's not available at all this week. How about next week? Oh, he's on a congressional delegation next week.
You know what it sounds like, Nicole? It sounds like you're trying to use mileage to get a plane ticket.
Yes, it does. I'm trying to get a commitment from my congressman to say that he wants to do the right thing and open an impeachment inquiry into this crooked president, and he won't commit. And then they emailed me a segment where he was on CNN with Aaron Burnett, ostensibly saying the same thing. Yeah, I think we need to investigate, but I don't think we should call it impeachment yet. He won't commit to anything.
That's the Pelosi line. That's what this is. This will pacify your constituents.
No, it won't.
That's what they're trying to do. Pacify us.
No, it won't.
Give us something to suck on so we go to sleep.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So what do you think about Pelosi? If you watch the end of the press conference, I thought the questions for Pelosi were quite interesting, especially the one where she explained why we're not on a path to impeachment, because Donald Trump wants us to impeach him. And this would be playing right into his hand. Really? Putting an impeachment hearing on live television where the nation is transfixed and there's nobody who's testifying off the record. There's nobody testifying without being under oath. There's no redacted statements. There's nothing. Everything is out in the open. How could that possibly be detrimental to our country to learn in live and in color what this president has been up to?
She lost it. She doesn't have it anymore. She should retire and go and sit in a rocking chair and play with her grandchildren. It's finished for her.
Yeah.
And she is dragging down the whole country. She's refusing to do her duty. As you, in the story that I have at 1 o'clock, not only do I have that whole press conference embedded in the story,
great.
So anyone who hasn't seen it will be able to see it on my blog, but I have Sandy Hoyer absolutely admitting that the decision to not go forward with impeachment was a partisan political decision that they made. She's trying to deny it, and he's another one who's overly senile, and he admits inadvertently, but he says it in plain English, that yes, it was a partisan political decision. Let's not kid ourselves.
Amazing.
And that's all it is. They're making calculations. Is it going to hurt us? Is it going to help us? Where is it going to hurt? Where is it going to help? Which of our members are going to be defeated because we do this? And there will be some. I think there'll be three that who are going to lose anyway. There are three, bad, terrible blue dogs in red districts who inadvertently got elected last time, and they're walking dead anyway. They're not going to win again.
Okay,
here we have Pelosi and Hoyer willing to make policy for America based on these three idiots.
Who are the three idiots? Or is it Dan Lipinski? He cannot win.
It's Kendra Horn in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And what's his name? Joe Cunningham in Columbia, South Carolina. What's the other one? The other one slipped my mind. It'll come to me in a second. As soon as we stop talking about it, I'll remember.
Right. As I remembered what I was going to ask you about, which I will at the end. She just seems to be misreading the people. I'm noticing comments on Twitter from members of Congress who said the calls to their office have turned around from, like 2-1 against impeachment to something like 3-4-1 in favor of opening impeachment inquiry.
Like I told you, right here in my district, Adam Schiff, who has not been yelling and screaming about impeachment, he's been with Pelosi on the we're going to investigate. Mm-hmm. We're not going to call an impeachment. We're going to investigate, and that's the policy. He has a very, very friendly Adam Schiff loving 200 people, 198 of whom want impeachment immediately.
Wow!
They're going back to Congress and talking to their colleagues about it, and it's turning around. I mean, who was it? I think it was Hoyer. Was saying, there are 36 or so Democrats who, that's what he said. There are 36 Democrats who want impeachment, but guess what? There are 236 Democrats in Congress, and the other 200 don't want it. Well, that's not true.
Right.
That might have been a few weeks ago, but it's not true now. I'm sure everyone has heard this already. And what you was just saying a few minutes ago, you put them on TV and you start the investigation process and everyone has to testify.
Yep.
And what happens is the country starts to turn around. When the Nixon impeachment started, no one wanted it. I shouldn't say no one wanted it. The public didn't want it, and the Senate said it out of the question. And yet, as the hearings started going on and on and on, people turned around, and suddenly the public did want it. And eventually, it was so obvious that this guy was a criminal that even the Republicans in the Senate, finally, they said, yeah, well, you know, that's it. And then a Republican delegation of six senators, including Barry Goldwater, by the way, went to Nixon and they said, you're going to be impeached, mm-hmm. and then it's going to go to the Senate and you're going to be convicted. The votes for conviction are there. You either resign or you're going to be removed from office. And Nixon, who had the day before being, you know, saying the same stuff Trump is saying now, almost word for word, he resigned. That was the end of that.
Right. And so far, we haven't seen any other Republicans step up to join Justin Amash for his courage in calling Trump out. He read the report.
Although Justin did say that there are Republicans who agree with him. They're coming up to him privately and telling him they agree and that they don't have the stomach for the fight that he has taken on.
Amazing.
I mean, it was funny because Justin Amash did this at the same time that the announcement was made that Nancy Pelosi was getting the JFK Profile in Courage Award. And I was laughing. What has she done?
He deserves
that's courageous.
It, right?
I mean, what did something? I must have missed it, that she did something courageous.
Oh,
I don't know what
God.
That is.
I don't know either.
But Justin did something that was extremely courageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. He bucked his
home
party.
He's getting payback now. The biggest source of funds for Congress people, Republican Congress people from Michigan, is the DeVos family. The DeVos family, Betsy DeVos being
Secretary
of
Eric Education.
Prince is part of that family.
Right, her brother.
So that's where the money comes from for Republicans. They don't get money from ordinary people. They get a little, but the big source of their funds is the DeVos, the extended DeVos family.
Right.
The family cut Justin off. He's not getting any, and they've given him tens of thousands of dollars, and he's cut off for the rest of this cycle. They made the announcement, and it's now official, and he knows it.
Now, there are some rumors that he'll run, that he'll try to run against Trump on the Libertarian ticket.
So that's been, that's been talked about for like the last like 4 or 5 months. There have been rumors about that in the media. And, the Libertarian ticket wants him. He has always said, well, I'm not going to rule it out, but I doubt it. And he's still kind of saying the same thing. Now, I don't think that he's officially registered to run again as a congressperson, although something that's odd.
Right.
But he did say yesterday that he is running for Congress again. He said he's running for Congress again, but he still didn't rule out that he might run against Trump as a libertarian.
I hope he does.
Do both.
Yep. Okay, so I guess we'll wait and see, if anyone steps up to join him. Now, the House is on recess. They're off tomorrow. They're off all next week for Memorial Day. So what happens over the course of the next week? I think this is supposed to be a district work week where the members, recess. They go home and work in their district. I think this is a perfect opportunity to go to your representative's office. If you can't go physically, then call them. Call their district office because they're supposed to be home next week and tell them that they need to open an impeachment inquiry if that's how you feel. What else is going to happen next
week? Districts, a district like mine where the people in this district are far to the left of Barkhurst.
Right.
So in a district like this, we are telling our congressperson, and he knows it, we want impeachment, mm-hmm. and he gets it. But in other districts, what we really need are congresspeople to start persuading the more moderate or more conservative Democrats that it's time for impeachment. But we don't have that. That's one of the problems. And the reason for that is because we have bad leadership. They're the ones that should be leading the Democrats in that way. And they, these people are supposed to be leaders, not just followers who take polls.
Right?
They should be out there explaining why Trump is guilty and why he should be removed from office.
Exactly.
And I don't see, I see people like Rashida Tlaib doing that,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to convince the people in her district. They're
there. Yep.
You know, but so there are people who are doing it, but in too many districts, like in your district, I could imagine in a dream Ted Deutch going to town hall meetings and taking up the cause of impeaching Trump. But he's not doing that.
Nope.
He's not going to do that.
Nope.
He's going to wait until the people in the district tell him to do it. He is not going to try to help them come to the right conclusion about doing it. And I find that kind of disgusting, to be honest with you, as something that we need real leaders in Congress?
We do.
I was just speaking to this woman who's running for Congress, and we were talking about this in a general sense, about what Blue America is looking for in people. She wanted to know. And I was explaining that to her, that I don't want people to do things because they're trying to please me. I want to support them because they want to do the right thing. She got it. She understands. She's pretty much there also.
Good. Well, this is when we need to work the phones. Now it's up to us to get in touch with our members of Congress and tell them what we want them to do. Obviously, I think the Democrats have lost their way, and they're going to be perceived as weak and feckless and once again doing nothing. And if they're going to wait until 2020 for the people to vote Donald Trump out, I'm afraid we're doomed. This is really upsetting to me. That said,
if we wind up with a candidate, which is very possible, like Joe Biden,
we're doomed anyway.
If you want to know who's going to pardon Donald Trump and his entire family on day one of his administration, I mean, I could write the speech that Biden is going to give when he's pardoning them.
Yeah, no kidding. I hear you.
Of national unity. That's who we're going to wind up with. You know, so anybody who wants to see Trump pardoned, Joe Biden's your man.
Yeah. All right. Again, we've got our work cut out for us for the next week. While Congress is out, it's up to us to make noise because they are not doing their jobs. So, Howie Klein, what I was going to ask you about at the beginning was I know that you were on the board of People for the American Way, which, of course, was founded.
Still are.
Founded by the great Norman Lear. Did you watch last night's Live All in the Family and the Jeffersons?
I heard all about it and I missed it. I'm so sorry I missed it, but I'm gonna watch it on on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely. See, it was good. I was so disappointed in Woody Harrelson. He was trying to do Carol O'Connor doing Archie Bunker instead of just doing it. But the script was an original script, and they had to bleep the N-word, which I guess in the 70s they could say on television, but making a point in 2019, you can't. But Norman Lear was there looking great at 90-something and just reminded me what a treasure he was and how lucky you are to have been able to work with him.
I'll tell you how lucky I am. I was on a call with him the other day. There were about 30 people on the call, and he joined the call late. And he came onto the call while I was making an impassioned speech about how not all Democrats are worthy of our support, and we should be supporting real progressives and real fighters and not supporting these conservative Democrats who are really Republicans just pretending to be Democrats. And I was just going nuts on it because I was fighting with some people who don't agree with me.
Uh-huh.
And I was a bunch of them, and I was pushing back, and I didn't realize that Norman was on the call. He came in the middle of it, and then he said, I shouldn't even be saying this. This is... because you're not supposed to talk about these kinds of things. But anyway, what he said was, who is that? Who is that? I didn't recognize the voice. Who was that? And no one knew what he was going to say, including, I didn't know.
Right.
And I said, it was me, it was Howie. And he said, I want this organization to sound like that. That is the passion. That is the voice. That is what we need here at this organization. And that just like made my week. I'll tell you, I was kicking myself for not having that on tape.
That's awesome. I got to interview Norman Lear once when I was working here in Miami at the then Progressive Talk Station in Miami as a producer, and the host Jim DeFede was sick; he was hospitalized. And my first time in front of the microphone as guest host, I had Norman Lear booked for that day. It was one of the high points of my career. What a treasure he is. Yeah.
He is.
Yes, he is. All right, Howie Klein. All right, go over to downwithtyranny.com now. The piece we were talking about is there. I will link to it from my blog at NicoleSandler.com. As always, thank you, Howie Klein. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nicole. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Find Howie at downwithtyranny.com and, of course, the Blue America PAC. Tomorrow, we'll get further into impeachment with former Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman, who wrote a book on impeaching Trump. Elizabeth Holtzman tomorrow on the show. See you then. Bye, everyone.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.